I'm going to have Michelle light the compassion candle. Just for our conference, our denomination, and especially because I am not the only person transitioning to a new church on July 1st. A lot of pastors are. Jerry Herships, who we've been working with for After Hours, he is leaving. A new pastor is coming. So there's just transition happening all over the place for us as United Methodists. So let us just take a moment to lift up all of my beloved colleagues as they are transitioning and stressing out with their moving trucks and dealing with all kinds of the fun, you know, transition. So. Lord, I ask that the words of my heart, or the words of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing to you, and I also ask that you would keep me from weeping through this entire sermon. Amen. This morning, I have the very difficult task of preaching one last sermon to you. One last message to my beloved Applewood Valley United Methodist Church. My office is empty. Our house is packed up, thank the Lord. And this afternoon, the Dornish family will make the trek up to our new home in Billings, Montana. And to tell you the truth, it still feels really surreal. We've had months to prepare for this. We knew it was coming, but it just still feels too soon. There just doesn't ever seem to be enough time to say a proper goodbye to everyone that I love. But with every goodbye party, every last coffee date, every final Orange Theory workout with Lindsay Sigelke, I've felt grief, but I've also felt gratitude. Gratitude for the community that God has so richly blessed Russ and I with. Gratitude for the people making goodbye, and that word goodbye, so hard. But as Pastor Michelle said earlier in the service, goodbyes are just a part of life. That sucks. It's not a fun thing, but just the way it goes. AVUMC has had lots of wonderful pastors come and go. And as I said, because the Methodist Church has an itinerant system, we are very well versed in this transition. So this morning, I wanted to point to a particular story in Scripture that guides us through how to make a healthy leadership transition. And that is from the book of Deuteronomy. Julia read the first part in chapter 31. Thank you, Julia. I love you. And I am going to read the second half in Deuteronomy chapter 34. This is the word of the Lord. Then Moses climbed to Mount Nebo. From there, the Lord showed him all of the land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali and the lands of Ephraim and Manasseh, the land of Judah, as far as the Mediterranean Sea, as well as the southern desert and the whole valley of Jericho. Then the Lord said to Moses, "This is the land I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said to them, 'I will give this land to your descendants.' I have let you look into it, to look at it, but you will not cross over into it." Then Moses said, "I will," to the servant of the Lord. And Moses then died there in Moab, as the Lord had said he would. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not weak, and he still had all of his strength. The Israelites cried for Moses for 30 days, staying in the plains of Moab until the time of sadness was over. Joshua, son of Nun, was then filled with wisdom, and wisdom from the Lord. So the Israelites listened to Joshua and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Thanks be to God. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to die anytime soon. At least I hope not, you know, right? But I feel like there's a lot of wisdom that we can glean from this particular scripture. The story isn't exactly what's going on at AVUMC, but I think it's going to help us with this transition in a really grace-filled way. The first thing I want us to glean from the story is the truth of who's truly in charge. It's not Moses or Joshua, and thank God in this case it's never been me or Michelle or Kelsey coming in or Scott or Peter or Ad Council or SPR. Those are just humans. We're all just humans. It's the Lord that's always been in charge and always will be in charge. So, church family, for this healthy transition to happen, let us first trust in God and God's presence being that constant in our life. Human leaders will come and go. They will do great things, and they will also screw up. They will fill us with so much hope and gladness, and they will also disappoint us. But our God never lets us down, never leaves us or forsakes us, and is always faithful to keep his promises. I love how the Lord reminds Moses in this scripture, I am giving your people the land that I promised them. This is the land that their ancestors prayed for. So remember all of those Ebenezers for this church, all of those promises that God has given to Applewood Valley, those will continue to grow into fruition, no matter who's up front here. The Lord is in charge, and he's not going anywhere. The second thing I think this passage teaches us is that there's still work to do. Moses wasn't leaving Joshua to take over, to have an easy time in the promised land. It wasn't going to be milk and honey and hanging out and singing hymns. Moses was leaving Joshua at the cusp of many battles to fight, many armies to take on. Moses charged Joshua with the task to keep going. Keep going. I have really disappointing news for all of us, especially me. If you are to advance the kingdom of God as a Christ follower, you are always going to have some sort of difficulty. It's actually not easy to follow Jesus, no matter what the bumper stickers say. So, if you're doing your job right and you love Jesus, you will have battles to face. A lesson that I learned at this church was that if you are not facing any type of adversary or resistance, adversity, you are not doing your job. There is always going to be some sort of struggle or obstacle to overcome, but with the Lord's strength and provision, the church will continue to thrive. In the last 3 years, we have seen a lot of change at this church, right? And with change has always come challenges. With any good thing, any good growth, has come difficulty. We changed the way we thought about the gospel, and we're challenged to be more accepting and inclusive of all people, especially those people of color, our LGBTQ siblings, anyone who doesn't look, think, or feel the way we do. And we made the decision to become a reconciling church. We changed the way that we reached out to our community these last 3 years, and we're challenged to partner with what God was already doing in and around us, like with Refit, Habitat for Humanity, After Hours, all of the school programs. There's been a lot of new startups these last 3 years. We upped the standard of excellence with the children and the youth ministry programs, and I got Leslie Knope up in here, just like Scott understands. And we upped all of the wonderful outreach events with vision casting, volunteers, and a ton of duct tape. We had wonderful weekly youth programs, Bible studies, mission trips, and vacation Bible schools. We've gotten more creative on how to reach out to our community, and we're challenged with the task of, how do we even let people know we're back here behind the fire station? And we did that through Kim Palmer, Nancy Cassidy, I'm looking at you guys, Scott, marketing campaigns, advertising strategies. That's been huge. And that's just a few of the challenges that we have met head on and seen so much fruit in. Right now, I'm looking out at a congregation that does not look the same as when I came. This congregation has not only grown by 90 people in the last 3 years, but this congregation is more diverse, much more inclusive, more intergenerational, and frankly, I just see so much spiritual fruit when I look out. I see so many gifts and graces that you all have, that you have really, truly harnessed and felt empowered to utilize. That is the greatest thing for a pastor. But the work is not over. It is just the beginning. The gospel teaches us that there is always more work to do in the kingdom of God. And as my favorite theologian, Rachel Held Evans, reminds us, there is always more room at Christ's table. So I challenge you to always look around and ask yourself, who isn't here? Who's not here? Who hasn't been invited in? And instead of being complacent, keep going. Do something. Extend your hand and bring them into the fold. So I hope and I pray that as Kelsey comes in and Scott and Peter and Tom and Betty and Selwyn and Michelle continue to challenge and push you, I pray that you would be open to it. That's the only way this congregation will continue to grow and thrive, both as individual Christ followers and as a church body. Keep having those tough conversations. Keep being authentic and vulnerable with one another. Continue to push through your differences and to bring people into that radical inclusivity and unlimited grace that is the gospel. The third thing I want us to receive from the scripture passage is that leadership transitions are in God's timing, not ours. A lot of people that I love so much in this room are like, I'm not happy about this. This is not convenient. I don't want this. And just so you know, Russ and I are like, this isn't convenient for us either. This isn't easy. But just as I told the children, when you say yes to God, you're actually saying yes to a lifetime of adventures and saying yes when God directs you. Both the passage of scripture that I read and Julia read articulate over and over that, yes, Moses was old. He was an older dude, but he could have stayed. His strength had not gone. His vision was great. He was doing wonderful. He could have kept leading, but it was his time to go. God has ordained leadership over and over in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And God makes it very clear that it's time for a new leader to step in. So let us all trust that. Trust that in the cabinet's decision, in the church's decision, in the bishop's decision. It's all really just God's decision. It's the Holy Spirit guiding and moving all of those pieces. I can really resonate with how Moses must have been feeling when God brought him up to Mount Nebo and only allowed him to look into the promised land, but not enter into it. 40 years he led those people, he struggled, he overcame the whole, I am not equipped to do this, send somebody else, God. But sometimes, as pastors, just like Moses was a pastor, we only get to be a very small part of the story. Not the whole thing. We are called to pass the baton off to somebody else for new leaders to come in and continue the story. There are so many dreams that I have dreamed for this church, and I will continue to dream and stay on your butts that you will continue to bring into fruition. So many prayers I've prayed, and I'm really thankful that I have gotten the fruit and the vision and the gifts that I have gotten here. So, God has big plans for this church. You just experience it without me. The last thing that God reminds Moses, Joshua, and all of the Israelites in the story, this is the most important thing. Do not be afraid. Do not worry. Don't lose sleep. Don't be too sad. Let yourself feel how you need to feel, but then keep on keeping on for Jesus. With change and transition come so many unknowns. Believe me, I get it. But God says hundreds of times in scripture, do not be afraid. It's even on here. For I am always with you. Jesus said it. The Lord said it to Moses. The disciples say it to each other. Paul says it to Timothy. Do not be afraid. For I am always with you. The tough transition right now is that I am leaving to pastor another church, but there will be so many more transitions to come. I've been thinking about how fitting it is that the season of Pentecost just happened, because there was another person who only got 3 years of ministry with his disciples, Jesus. Jesus only had 3 years with his disciples for challenges, baptisms, meals, ministry, lessons, friendship, and then he had to leave, and he knew it was his time to leave, and there was great heartache in Jesus, and there was great uncertainty for the disciples, but with the absence of Jesus came the power, the counsel, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And because Jesus left, the Holy Spirit was able to come and empower the church to continue to thrive. So not only were the disciples okay, but they went out and did great, amazing things in the name of God. So it gives me great comfort to know that next week and the week after that, when we're up in Billings at Hope UMC, the same Holy Spirit that was working here before I even came in the doors will continue to do a work in and all through you long, long after I'm gone. That's the gospel story we get to be a part of. It has been such an honor to get to be your pastor these last 3 years. Thank you for trusting me to enter into your lives and to be a part of your stories. Thank you for allowing me to help lead you in some of the most holy moments of your lives. I will cherish the memories I have with each one of you forever. The wonderful thing about being a pastor is that you get to bear witness to life, death, and resurrection over and over and over. And realize that God's faithfulness and grace covers it all. So thank you, Applewood, for making me the pastor I am today. And even though I won't get to see you all the time, it's my prayer that we can continue cheering each other on in the work of the Lord, knowing that wherever we are, we will always be a part of the same family of God. I love you. Amen.